ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. That's also what Mark says, 6, verse 35 and 36. We read that. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." So the disciples wanted to be in the ministry of sending people away. And Jesus always said, "Come unto me," right? So opposing views on how to do ministry. How could they do something like that? How could they say, send them away? You know, churches, Christians do that all the time. They send people away because they don't want to take the time to help. J. Vernon McGee, who's been home with the Lord for some 33 years, warned the church of this kind of behavior, something he was seeing in his day, and it's normal today. This is what he wrote. "Right now, church leaders are saying that we need to send the multitudes away, that there are natural ways of caring for their needs. We send them to psychiatrists for emotional help and the government for physical help. The thing which is lacking is the power of the Lord Jesus. If we only had that power, we wouldn't need to send the multitudes away. We fail to realize that the solutions today are not in government or in human imaginations, but in God. Once we were told we could do nothing without Christ," Jim Owen wrote. "Now we almost hear that Christ can do nothing in us or for us without the help of Christian psychology. Even the Holy Spirit is pictured ineffectual without the right counseling methods." You know, please don't send people away. What do? You love them. You listen to them. And I understand there are psychological issues that need to be dealt with. But a lot of times, people need to be listened to. They need to be able to talk. It's something we did years ago when I was growing up. We sat at the table for meals and we talked. Our problems were resolved at the table. But we don't have the time and everyone's running to and fro and no one wants to listen. And even in the church, you know, it was funny, you know, years ago when we first started, I'd be preaching and I would pray at the end and I say amen and I look up and like, boom, everyone's gone. I'm like, what happened? Where'd they all go? I am so blessed to see people hanging around talking to each other. That's counseling. That's ministering to the needs of other people. How wonderful that is. God wants us to minister to people, not to send them away. In fact, in Matthew 14:16, this is what Jesus said. Again, something probably blew their mind away. "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And that's not a suggestion. In the Greek, the way it's written, it's emphatic. He's saying, you give them something to eat. I say you do it. You take care of these people. But that first worldly solution was send them away. Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. And as Andrew looks at the situation, he sees a young lad who had 5 barley crackers, which were basically grain for animals and the poor. And he also had 2 small pickled fish. And probably eaten, obviously, with the crackers. They were just more of a snack-type food for him. And look it, you got 15 to 20,000 people. You got 5 small barley crackers and 2 small pickled fish. Who's that going to feed? Right? In the world's eyes, it's worthless. How in the world can this feed all these people? And that's our problem many times. God has given us things to use for his glory, to minister to people, and we object or become discouraged when we look at what we have compared to the situation. And we say, what are they among so many? I remember years ago when my wife took the youth group to Mexico, and they went to these poorest areas, and they were bringing some corn, I think it was. Something, let's see, what I think it was corn or wheat. to these villages, and they knew about how many people were there, so they had enough for everyone. But when they were there, it was like twice as many people than what they had food for. And so they decided, well, let's just give what we have. And they started taking the bags and bringing it out to the people. And by the time they were done, every single person had received a bag. They gave what they had, which wasn't enough. It's impossible now to feed all these people that are here. And God provided enough. It was an amazing witness to these kids of the power of what God can do. Taylor wrote, "Small things are not always contemptible. It all depends on the hands in which they are." Yeah. And Jesus said to these men, "You feed them." How could that be enough for all these people? Well, like Psalm 145:16 says, "You constantly satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing." That's our God. Don't send them away. Why? Because God's going to provide for them. Here's our problem. With men, this is impossible. So we see this impossible situation, and we go, what can we do? What are these among so many? And we get our eyes off of what we can do, off of the resources we have. We forget about it. Instead of saying, "Lord, this is what I have," you use it and see what he can do. Think about it. If God has called you to do something, he's equipped you to do it, don't you think he's going to give you the resources you need to accomplish the task that is before you? Of course. Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Think about that. Put that into perspective. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Is there things that are too hard for me? Absolutely. With my crummy leg situation now, where it's really hard for me to sit and move around, I couldn't even put on my socks this morning. If it wasn't so cold, I'd probably have sandals on. But praise God for my wife who helped put on my socks. I can't do all things. Oh, but he can. And we got to take our eyes off of self and the resources we have, because there's not much, and say, "Okay, Lord, this isn't much, but this is what I have, and I'm giving it to you," and see what he's going to do. I mean, he created the heavens and the earth. Can he help me with the problem that I have? Of course he can. And it's not always easy, and it's not always instantaneous. And it doesn't always mean that the situation is going to be resolved, but he'll give us the strength to endure through it and to minister to people. I remember just recently, Mary's uncle was in the hospital dying, didn't know the Lord, didn't have long to live. Didn't want anything to do with the Lord. It was all about money for him. And finally, his heart was softened, and he came to saving faith. He's no longer watching the business money shows. The TV's off. He's saved, and now he's with the Lord. Did he need a healing? Oh, he got the greatest healing ever. His heart. You see, God can do amazing things. With us, it seems impossible. But someone reached out and shared Jesus with him, and he got saved. We can give to the Lord, like I said, the little things that we have. And it's not necessarily money, but it's the gifts, the talents that God has given us, our resources. And you think, how can that help? I don't have much to give. How can God do anything with it? How can he even use me? And it's so easy to develop that mentality, but look at what we read. This little boy here who has with him 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? A snack lunch. But this lad, what did he do? He gave it to Jesus. "Here, Lord, this is for you." And God was going to accomplish great things. One pastor said, "Listen carefully. It's not what we don't have to give to God that's the problem. It's what we do have but refuse to give to him to use for his kingdom. That's the problem. But I don't have much. How can God use it? This little boy didn't have much, but what he did have, he was willing to give to the Lord for him to use, and Jesus multiplied it and fed thousands. What did David have against Goliath? 5 stones. He only needed one. That's all he had. To fight against this Philistine giant, armor, sword, spear. I mean, come on. You know, it's always funny when you see someone who is, you know, they may be 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", standing next to me. I look like nothing. Can you imagine what David looked like? No armor, a slingshot, and five stones. And what did God do? God used it mightily to bring down the giant. We may have things that we think are insignificant, and God says, go and minister to the people. Go use those gifts that God has given you and minister to them. See, it's not what we don't have to offer God that keeps us from being used. It's what we do have and we don't offer that keeps us from being used by Him. Worldly solutions are not going to work. But I'll tell you what, you give to God and He will use it and multiply it and accomplish that. Now, Andrew said, but what are they among so many? He didn't believe that this food that this young lad had could feed all these people. But our next point, Jesus satisfies. Look at John 6, verses 10 through 13. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So they were filled. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Again, this was the time of the Passover. It's the springtime. The fields are bursting forth with grass and flowers. And Jesus says, go have the people sit down. And not just sit down anywhere they want it, but put them in groups of 50s and hundreds. Why? Because God is a God of order, not disorder. And how much easier it is to feed them as they're in these groups. You know, when I read of this, what's taking place here, and they're sitting on this hill being fed, it reminds me of Psalm 23 of the Good Shepherd, where he makes his sheep to lie down so he can feed them. And that's what the Lord does with us. We need those times. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We need to take that time. We can't be so busy that we're not going to lie down in those green pastures and be refreshed, be fed by the Lord, the bread of life. What is tragic in happening in many churches today is instead of feeding people the bread of life, they give the wisdom of men, the philosophies of the world. And they end up teaching fluff sermons, entertaining people, and the sermons get shorter and shorter. You know, back in 1741, Jonathan Edwards preached his famous Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was about an hour long. In mainline Protestant churches, the average length of a sermon is 25 minutes. You know, it's pretty much my introduction. You know, when they asked me to speak at the Wisconsin Revival meeting, they told me my time was 10 minutes. I said, well, that's my name, 10 minutes. By the time I get my name out, God took care of it. Evangelical churches, they're not a whole lot better. The average length of their sermons is 35 minutes. You think, well, why are you harping on this so much? Because we will go and sit and watch a movie for 2 to 3 hours and not have a problem. We'll go watch a football game for 3 hours. Even go into the stadium where, you know, it's freezing out and sit there and watch a game. We can spend time with YouTube and Facebook and spend hours. And before you know it, it's like, wow, it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to get to bed. And you get a lot of worldly ideas, but we can't get excited about the Word of God, and that's dangerous. I think maybe some of the reason is because pastors aren't excited about bringing the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I get kind of excited when I teach. It's exciting to bring forth God's Word and to hear what God has for you and me. And you think, well, you put the studies together. Well, yeah, but as I'm teaching them, God is speaking to me. because his word is living and powerful. And our good shepherd wants to teach us. You see, as a pastor, I'm not in the manufacturing business where we're putting forth the manufactured wisdom of man. I'm in the distribution business. I'm distributing God's word to people, the people that God has entrusted to me. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 to a young pastor, he's probably in his 40s at that time, Timothy, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So the Bible, reading it, teaching it, studying it for our growth, our maturity, to correct us, make us complete. We don't need junk food. We need the Word of God. The people there, the disciples of Jesus, thought this was insignificant, what this young lad had. Jesus is going to use it to feed every one of these 15 to 20,000 people. When he received these 5 barley crackers and these 2 small pickled fish, in Luke 9:16, we're told, then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the multitude. So Jesus blesses the food, and the disciples are coming, they're getting it, and they're coming again and getting more. I mean, I think after the first time, coming back the second time, go, man, look at this, there's more food here. And they're going back and forth, back and forth. What's interesting is the disciples of Jesus have been with them for some 2 years now. They've seen the miracles. They've seen everything that he's done, right? And not one of them thought to say, oh, Jesus, can you help us with this? Can you provide food? Isn't that interesting? I mean, Jesus was right there before them. And we could look at them, you know, just like when we do the children of Israel and look at all their failures, go, how could they do something like that? And the Lord again is going, you need to look in the mirror. We do it all the time. We instead of going to Jesus, we're trying to find worldly solutions instead of saying, Lord, what do you want to do? How do you want to accomplish this? Now, the word filled speaks of them being stuffed. This wasn't just a snack time. Can you imagine? They're stuffed with just that little food that young lad gave to Jesus. And there's 12 baskets left over. Go, why 12 baskets? Well, 12 tribes of Israel, could be. 12 apostles, yeah. You see, they were doubting what Jesus could do. They didn't believe Jesus could do anything to meet the needs of these people. So Jesus provided all this food, 12 baskets of leftovers. And it's interesting because when we look at next week, we look at the perfect storm here that's going to happen on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are fearful. We're going to die. We're rowing all night. We're going nowhere. And not one of them looked at the 12 baskets that were in the boat thinking, hey, he provided food. Maybe he could save us. And they never cried out to Jesus. So I think that was a witness to them. Make no mistake about it, Jesus has compassion on people. On those that are hungry, he will feed. That is the wonderful thing about our Lord. And he wants to use us. We just need to walk by faith. We need to trust him. Now, I guess I should add this because there are some commentators out there, and you may read of this, that feel that the story is symbolic. It really didn't happen. It did. It's in all 4 Gospels. Others say that the miracle was seen in people watching this young lad give what he had to share. And in turn, they gave what they had of their food and they shared with people. And it sounds so wonderful. That's the miracle. You know, think about that just for a minute. If everyone had food, Why didn't they just eat it? Right? I mean, come on. This was a miracle. Why are we discrediting the miracles of God? I don't get it. Now, God did this tremendous miracle, fed all these people with just 5 barley crackers and 2 small fish. And I want you to notice the results of that, because it tells me that this was a miracle. This wasn't just people sharing their food, okay? Verse 14 of John 6. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Wow. When they saw what was happening, they realized this is a miracle. This is the prophet who's come into the world. If all they did was share their food, do you think it would make an impact upon the people? No. They saw this miracle from heaven, you might say, the bread from heaven. And maybe they remembered about Moses and what Moses said in Deuteronomy 18:15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." In other words, Jesus was like Moses, whom they thought fed their ancestors in the wilderness those 40 years. Really, God was doing that. But they felt this has got to be the one. This is the prophet that was spoken of. And because of that, what they thought about this, the Messiah, and what he was going to do, they thought he was going to free them from their Roman bondage, just as Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and their bondage there. They wanted to make him king. In fact, in John 6:15, we're told that he departed because they wanted to do that. It wasn't time yet. It is amazing what God has done here and he has shown us in his word. And these are lessons for us to learn from. This is not just information. This is things that God wants to transform our lives and help us to learn to trust in him. You know, one writer said, "You do what you can do, I'll do what I can do, and God will do what we cannot do." Absolutely. He's in the business of doing miracles. What is our spiritual hunger for? What are we seeking after? And I pray it's the Lord and his will for your life. And not seeking him for what he can give you, but because you love him, and it's out of that love he uses us. We're going to see with these people, Jesus is going to rebuke them in this chapter because they're just seeking him for what he was giving out. Hey, we don't want another cheeseburger or whatever. Wouldn't be a cheeseburger, but you know what I mean. The physical things instead of the spiritual. One writer said, "The crowd's statement made immediately after Jesus had healed their sick and filled their stomachs revealed what the people were really looking for in a Messiah. They wanted an earthly deliverer, one who would meet all their physical needs, and food and health were at the top of the list, as well as freeing them from the hated yoke of Roman oppression. Thus, they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king. With him as their provider, they would never want for food and would have the potential to be healed of every illness. They could march to Jerusalem, overthrow the Romans, and establish the ultimate social welfare state. Jesus, however, refused to be forcefully made king on their selfish and unrepentant terms. Therefore, he sent the disciples away by boat, dispersed the crowd, and withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone." And we'll look at that more next time. But let me close with this from Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Absolutely. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know the difficulties you're having, the situations you're facing that seem impossible. Seek the Lord. Look to him. Give him those things that you have and say, "Lord, use me." Just like Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me to the work that you have for me." And we all have different ministries. We all have different areas that God wants us to minister in. May we go forth and obey what the Lord is showing us. Even though we have little, look at how God can multiply. With men, it's impossible. With God, it is very possible. He could do all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this lesson. It's a tough one that Lord, so often we're in situations and we're trying to figure it out and we forget about you. Lord, help us to trust in you and to look to you, to seek your direction, your advice, and see how you're going to use us in the situations, how you're going to multiply things that will bring many into the kingdom. Strengthen our faith. Help us to walk accordingly. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.